96.3 WHUR and HUR Voices, Sirius XM, Channel 141. This is the Insight segment. Your questions or comments, toll free at 855-288-4876. Now, Insight.
Welcome back to the Daily Drum on WHUR and Sirius XM, Channel 141. This is the Insight segment. I'm Harold Fisher. You may have noticed a lot of rather unkempt men during the month of November, more than you might usually see. You may see them on the street. You may see them on television, in your office, maybe even around your house. Well, it's not because they've forgotten their grooming habits. They're actually trying to make a point about men's health. We are near the end of No Shave November. It's an effort to get the word out about men's health, specifically prostate cancer. Well, joining me to talk about it on this Medical Monday are Dr. Pamela Coleman, urologist with the Department of Surgery at Howard University Hospital, and Roger Gore, CEO of G Natural Products and an advocate for No Shave November. If you have a question tonight about prostate cancer, prostate health, or any men's health issue, give us a call. We are talking about it tonight at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. You can also tweet us using the hashtag WHURFM. This is not just a conversation for the guys. This is also a conversation for the people who love the guys, whether they are children, whether they are wives, girlfriends, partners, or even your even the person in the cubicle next to you. You know, we really want the guys to be healthy. So, you know, Roger and Dr. Coleman, thank you both for coming in. I appreciate it.
Thank you for inviting us.
Absolutely. Dr. Coleman, let me first get kind of a working definition of prostate cancer and issues surrounding prostate health. We talk about it a lot, but I don't think that we can start this conversation without some foundational work here.
Yes. So let me just give you just a little bit of some of the terminology, what the prostate is. The prostate is actually a gland and organ that sits right outside the body, only found in men. So it's outside the body and the bladder, and it actually surrounds the urethra. Okay, so it's outside the bladder and it surrounds the urethra. And so urine is expressed from the bladder through the urethra and then out. The prostate basically functions to produce semen. Semen is a fluid that sperm swim in, and when a man ejaculates, he is actually ejaculating semen with the microscopic sperm inside. Okay? So when we're talking about prostate cancer or any cancer in general, we're talking about cells that have gone haywire for whatever reason. We don't really know what causes any particular type of cancer, but we know what risk factors are associated with prostate cancer.
Such as?
Well, probably one of the most important risk factors, particularly for African-American men, is their just being black, their race, their ethnicity, their family history. Also, what they consume, the environment they live in, how much fat is in their diet, whether or not they exercise. All these things are considered risk factors that have been found in men who have prostate cancer. And probably the most other important factor is age. If men live long enough, in their 80s and 90s, they may develop prostate cancer. And those type of cancer cells are cancer cells that are not very active, but they're present. But younger men who develop cancer, particularly prostate cancer, can die of their prostate cancer, particularly if they're not diagnosed early and not treated.
How did you get involved, Roger, with No Shave November?
I have been involved with women with cancer for about 8 years, dealing with several organizations in Washington, D.C. And just recently, about maybe 6 or 7 months ago, I've lost about 4 of my friends, African-American men, to cancer. I lost 2 to breast cancer, 1 to colon cancer, and I just lost Mike Washington, like my cousin, to liver cancer. So it made me think, what could I do to bring awareness to our community, to African-American men, to understand that we have to take this seriously, It's a conversation that we have to start, and it starts it in our communities that we need to get early screenings. We need to change our lifestyle. So how could I participate on my level, because I'm in the beauty industry, I manufacture products, is that I thought to do it with No Shave November. I thought it would be a great way, because I'm a clean shaver. I've been a clean shaver for 30-something years. So if you saw me growing a beard, you would definitely ask me why or what my change would be. And it gave me the moment to express that I'm doing it to bring awareness, cancer awareness, to African-American men in our communities. And for women, I just always say it's important to join in that conversation, to share, because in this time, this is something that we can do together. So it was kind of at the right time, and it was the natural thing to do.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We're talking about No Shave November, prostate cancer, and awareness, trying to make sure that men are focusing on their health issues, particularly prostate-related health issues. If you have a question or a comment, give us a call. Lines are open. Let me go to Jamila. Jamila calling from Virginia. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind? Jamila, are you there?
Yes, good evening.
Hi. Go right ahead.
I am in a relationship with my significant other. We are truly in love, and we have a problem. He cannot get an erection. Like, he has diabetes, he has high blood pressure, he has sleep apnea, and he's a little overweight. The issues that he's having is causing a strain on our relationship, and it's been this way for about 2 years now. We've been together close to four. I noticed in the beginning of the relationship we weren't intimate as much as I'd like to, but he worked so much and so hard that I always considered, I just tried to be understanding, and, you know, he works all the time and he's tired, you know, mm-hmm. He needs his rest.
How old is he, Jamila? How old is he?
He is 48 today.
He's 48 today. Have you, before I turn you over to Dr. Coleman, has he gone to the doctor to try to address these issues?
He has gone to the doctor. I've also tried to help him. I'm kind of on a natural path as well, not shunning the doctors, but I tried to, you know, talk to him about eating healthy and detoxing and things like that. And it's frustrating for him. It's embarrassing for him. Sometimes he has a hard time talking to me about it.
Let me ask you this. Do you have a question for the doctor, or do you just kind of want her to talk about some of the things you've already mentioned?
I don't know if I necessarily have a question, but I guess I'm calling because I'd like to know if there's, maybe she can give me a list of things that we can do. Maybe there's something we're missing.
Okay. Dr. Coleman, go right ahead, please.
Yes, Jamila. Well, your friend is very fortunate to have you, because you are concerned about his health and well-being. I would say that when you started off, you mentioned pretty much a lot of the risk factors that are associated with erectile dysfunction that he has. Diabetes, hypertension, obesity, his general environment, his health, eating, maybe exercise or lack thereof. And I will tell you that erectile dysfunction can be treated, especially if you can help him control some of those other risk factors that he has. One thing, since we are doing the show on prostate cancer, and he's 48, an African American, he should be having a conversation with his physician, and you can be involved if he would like, whether or not he's been screened for prostate cancer. Now, screening involves having a blood test done called a PSA, prostate specific antigen, and a digital rectal examination. I will say the one thing about prostate cancer in the early stages, there are no symptoms. There are no symptoms. But occasionally we can see erectile dysfunction as a symptom. So if he has not been screened for prostate cancer, he does need to speak with his physician about that.
One of the other things that she mentioned, Roger, she said sometimes it's hard for him to talk to her about it. Talk to me briefly about how important it is to talk to your partner or your mate about some of these issues from a man's perspective, because, you know, guys, you know, you have egos. There is a concern. You want to be able to please your partner the whole bit. Yeah.
You have to get involved and be open about that. This is a serious conversation that we have to have. And when you look at his age, and the doctor mentioned some great points, is that when you look at us working together about our health, making a lifestyle change, it's important to look at, it has to include exercise, it has to include foods that you eat, when you're out shopping. These are times to have nice conversations, just subtle conversations about your health, about what can you do different, are you getting screened, and you can go together. So women need to get mammograms and things and screening for cancer, and so do we now. This, for a long time, had been a female situation, a female conversation in our communities, in our neighborhoods. But now we're starting to understand it's a conversation for men and women.
And let me say, Jamila, as Dr. Coleman said, it is really, really great that you are supportive of him, that you are concerned, because she started off, she said, we really, really are in love. Well, there it is.
Yes.
Because if they weren't, you know, then it wouldn't be, you know, it wouldn't be an issue. So certainly, you know, continue to focus on his health and try to get him to focus on the health, on his health issues as well. And thank you so much for sharing with us. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We're talking about No Shave November, specifically prostate cancer, prostate health, and more in general, men's health. Give us a call if you have a question or a comment. Real quick, let me go to Bill. Bill calling from Oxon Hill. Thanks for calling, Bill. What's on your mind? Go right ahead, Bill.
Hello?
Go ahead.
Can you hear me?
Uh-huh.
Yes. I've been diagnosed with prostate cancer, and I'd like to know, how do you determine what is the best treatment? There are a lot of treatments out there, and I'd like to know, how do you determine, or is it data that can help you to determine the best treatment when you've been diagnosed with prostate cancer?
Yes, Bill, thanks for that question. In general, there is data that's available, but I like to look at the person that's sitting across me or the persons that are there in terms of their treatment for prostate cancer. So you've been diagnosed with prostate cancer. You probably know a lot about prostate cancer, or maybe you need to read some things about it. But keep in mind that prostate cancer is a broad term. There are different cell types in prostate cancer, and some of them are not as aggressive as others. So occasionally, depending upon what type of cell type you have and what your blood tests are and your lifestyle, what is important to you, we can actually come up with a personalized treatment plan for you for your prostate cancer. In general, this can be perhaps active surveillance, just monitoring you, or you may, you know, want to talk about the surgical treatment options. There's also radiation, brachytherapy, external beam. I mean, all these are important, but there are some things that you can do yourself. We've talked a little bit about them already. One is lifestyle choices, diet, exercise, and those things alike.
Okay. Bill, thank you so much for your phone call. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. I need to take a break, but if you're on the line, that includes Todd calling from Fort Washington, Patrick calling from Maryland, also Stephanie calling from Maryland. Please do not hang up. You will be able to hear the program. I'll be coming to you after this short break to get your questions or comments. Lines are still open. We're going to continue to take phone calls, not only specifically about prostate cancer, prostate health, but about No Shave November this last week coming up. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Stay with us. The Daily Drum will continue on Sirius XM, Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. Jeff Brown is next with the original Quiet Storm on 96.3 WHUR. More of this conversation about No Shave November and prostate health in just a few seconds. Welcome back to The Daily Drum on Sirius XM, Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. We're talking about No Shave November, the effort to get the word out about men's health, specifically prostate cancer. And I'm joined in studio on this Medical Monday by Dr. Pamela Coleman, urologist with the Department of Surgery at Howard University Hospital, and Roger Gore, CEO of G Natural Products and an advocate for No Shave November. Lines are still open at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Before I go back to the phone lines, Roger, you said something earlier that kind of struck me. You and I'm paraphrasing here. You said, you know, now is the time for us to have this conversation. When you're talking to men, whether they are, you know, friends, colleagues, business associates, and you have these conversations, is it difficult? Are they receptive to you bringing this issue up?
Yeah. Men are very reluctant, but we're doing better because more and more of us are, it's hitting home, more of our friends are passing away from cancer. I wanted to say something about Bill, if I could. He made a point. He asked the doctor what treatments, and I've had, again, four friends that have passed away in the last 6 months. And this is an issue that we need to also include in our conversation is there's so much confusion about treatments of the different cancers. And she said it very eloquently and very, you know, clear on what you need to do. But it's so confusing in our community. All my friends that passed away from cancer, this was one of the big issues I remember talking to them about. They didn't know what treatments. And I think that's very complicated because this is not something that you can wait around for. This is not something that has a time benefit. It does not. So I think we have to look at, and that's something that I'm working on with funding, is how do we get more clarity on treatments when it comes to the different cancers that we have, because men will shut down. And if they shut down and seek no treatment because of the confusion, then it's the inevitable happen. You will pass away.
You're nodding your head, Dr. Coleman.
Yes, that's an excellent point. Putting your head in the sand or shutting down or denial basically is not the answer. The answer is to become educated, to become empowered, and whatever you need to do that, that's really the answer. That's what we need to do. And I think this is a great opportunity here with WHUR and Medical Monday to get the information out.
Why is there so much confusion? Is it because the disease is so complex? Is it because patients aren't asking the right questions?
Well, I think some confusion in general does come out of ignorance. And sometimes patients don't know the right question to ask. So I think it's very important in the medical community and physician advocates to start the conversation and actually bring in some of the information and kind of, you know, turn the light bulb on for some patients to get them engaged in the conversation about their health. The other issue we can't turn away from with in terms of prostate cancer, a lot of men sometimes or even loved ones concerned about their sex life. Maybe also about their bladder control. I mean, confront these issues. Don't hide them in a drawer. Bring them out. Talk to your physician about what your concerns are. That's what I meant when I said sometimes the treatment can be personalized, because sometimes I can tailor the treatment to some of your concerns and say, okay, I understand that's an issue for you. Let's talk about that. Let's see how we can still treat your prostate cancer and still make you to be sexually healthy and active and involved in your relationship.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Patrick, calling from Maryland. Patrick, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Hey, first of all, like to say thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I think that this is absolutely great to have Medical Monday. It's towards Dr. Coleman. I have a twin brother, and his PSA was, high fours. And of course, you know, when his eyes go bad, mine go bad 2 years later, I just said, hey, let me go ahead and check it out, go back and check it out. It was 1.8 4 years ago, or one low ones, I should say, 4 years ago. Now it's like 2.2 4 years later. For me, when I got a check just last week, do I have anything to worry about, especially that my dad had his procedure done at 75 years old? He's doing fine right now. He's almost 80. But do I have anything to worry about with it going in 4 years from 1.8? I think it's like 1.2 to 2.1 in 4 years.
Can you explain those numbers before you answer his question, please?
Yes, yes. And I have a twin sister, so I know I know how twins are and how we kind of very perceptive with our my sister and your brother in terms of when things are going on with them. But let me tell you, in general, the prostate-specific antigen, or PSA, and this is the number of value that you're talking about, in general, for men over 40, probably, probably should be somewhere less than 2.4. And then as men get older, because your prostate, remember the PSA is made from your prostate cells, the PSA can go, and we leave 4.0 as a cutoff.
Okay.
Now, let me just say one thing. Far, far more common than prostate cancer is enlarged prostate. Far, far more common symptoms are symptoms of enlarged prostate. So a lot of times when we see the PSA rising over a period of time, it's because your prostate is growing and not necessarily because of prostate cancer. Okay?
Okay. All right. So is there a way to keep it smaller?
There are ways to keep it smaller, but smaller does not necessarily mean that it's healthy. So the thing you want to do is keep your immune system. We keep kind of coming back to this, is to keep your body in the best health and shape, so that if you do get dealt a card, you can be able to deal with that.
Right.
Now, you mentioned your father being in his 70s and having prostate cancer and has had to treat it.
Yeah.
You are in the category, your brother, of a little bit high risk because you have a family history. So you want to be diligent like you're doing. If you're over 40, I assume you're getting your PSA, your blood test, and your digital rectal. Those are the two things that we do for screening, the blood test and the digital rectal, at least once a year. And having a conversation is so important, having a conversation with your physician.
Okay. Patrick, thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
Absolutely. Were you going to say something, Roger? I'm sorry.
I just, I keep listening, and Doc's doing an amazing job of explaining. But I just wanted to drift over to say that what I started doing research, which concerned me, was that a lot of the research for the cancers that the African-American men have become number one groups in, like pancreatic cancer, colon cancer, prostate, breast cancer, we're getting the same treatments, but we're still passing away at a 5-time rate higher than whites. And I'm wondering if, because of the reduction in funding and research, is that focusing on why are we still passing away at a higher rate than our white counterparts? So I think it's a lot of questions. And I'm glad that, you know, he called in because he's concerned. He sounds very concerned. That's what we need to be. But we need to also figure out why are we still passing away at an alarming rate than our white counterparts that are receiving the same treatments.
Well, your thoughts about that, because one could argue that racial disparities related to health could be applicable not just to cancer, it could be applicable to diabetes and obesity and all kinds of other things. But to his specific point, your thoughts, Doctor?
To your point, I think it's also important that African Americans become involved in research. We need to be involved in research. Prostate cancer probably is a bit different in African-American men in terms of how it affects men. And probably some of the treatments that we have across the board, including all Caucasians, African-American men, and so forth, may not necessarily be so applicable. But we have to be involved in the treatments, and we have to be involved in the research so that we can see how we can sort of tease out these differences. For example, we know in treatment of hypertension, the medications that we use to treat African-American people with high blood pressure are different than the ones that we use, starting with, to use our Caucasian counterparts. And we've learned that over time with research.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Paul, calling from D.C. Go right ahead, Paul. What's on your mind?
Yeah. My question is about erectile dysfunction. Is it curable?
He wants to know if it's curable.
Okay, so let me tell you. Erectile dysfunction in itself is not a disease, okay? Erectile dysfunction basically is a symptom of something else underlying. So it being curative, you've got to treat what is actually the cause for the erectile dysfunction. So let's take a patient that has high blood pressure. It's actually sometimes men will come forward with erectile dysfunction, and really they have the underlying cause for that is the high blood pressure. They're not getting enough blood flow into the penile tissues to help create the erection and sustain the erection. The same thing, a diabetes mellitus or high blood sugar. These are all things that we see in patients that have erectile dysfunction. Okay, so if we can cure the underlying cause for the erectile dysfunction, then we're going to help with the erectile dysfunction. But we don't necessarily now have cures for diabetes or high blood pressure, but we do have treatments for those, and we do have treatments for erectile dysfunction.
Do you know what may cause one person's erectile dysfunction compared to the next, or do you just kind of go down the list of, you know, looking at, you know, the specifics of this individual, whether it's obesity, high blood pressure, as you said, stress, or what have you?
Right. Well, you need to first look at the other specifics. So, and erectile dysfunction, this is also kind of a big term that we're using, but it can be initially anything from an inability to sustain or maintain an erection satisfactory for intercourse or sexual activity. Okay. So, again, you got to have a history, you got to have a conversation with your physician to tell him or her what's going on with you. And then we take your history, we look at your physical, we look at your medications that you're taking, we look at your lifestyle, see what you're doing, and your examination. I mean, there's a number of things that need to be looked at to see how those things are contributing to your inability to maintain your erection. So it's a topic of conversation, again, to have with your loved one. We talked about earlier with Jamila, but also to discuss with your physician. And sometimes these conversations take more than one office visit, okay? So sometimes I will talk to my patient about, in general, management of their overall health, and then we might get into the erection issues. And then what particularly is involved is you can't get an erection, you can't sustain an erection, you can't complete an erection. I mean, it's a number of issues.
Okay. Paul, thank you so much for your phone call, and good luck to you, good health to you. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Brandon, calling from Charles County. Brandon, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Yes, I'm a 55-year-old male, a black African-American male, and I was diagnosed with prostate cancer recently. Very in the early stage. I guess my question is, I've chosen, my physician explained to me the procedure as far as surgery, radiation, and chemo, and I chose the latter because it was explained to me that it was just inside the prostate, so I decided to have the prostate removed. My question is, how would that affect my body as far as getting an erection or climaxing and so forth?
Okay. Thank you for your question. So first, I'd like to congratulate you in speaking with your doctor, having the screening done and going forward, making a decision to have your prostate removed. And I would just, you know, now thinking also trying to decide what are possible side effects. So let me just tell you that the nerves that go to your penis for your erection run right alongside your prostate, but they're outside the prostate. So sometimes we can do a procedure, what we call nerve sparing, where we remove the entire prostate but spare the nerves that go to your penis for erectile function. Okay? If that procedure can be done successfully, you should still be able to have erections. Now, you may sometimes need a little bit of help with some oral medications and different things, but you should be able to have an erection. Now, if the nerves cannot be spared, because the whole idea with surgery is to remove the cancer, we don't want to leave any cancer behind. So sometimes we have to go a little bit wider and take the entire prostate, the capsule, and those nerves outside. Then we need to have a discussion about other alternative treatments. You will still be able to have an orgasm, but you will not ejaculate. Because remember I mentioned early, the fluid that the prostate makes the semen, comes from there. So you will not ejaculate, but you will have the feeling of orgasm. Okay, and this is important because your partner may not will not feel any seminal fluid or anything coming either, which for some women may be should be aware of that because sometimes that can be a turn on for them and they're wondering like, wow, I don't feel anything coming out. What's happening? And you have an orgasm. So that's something also to have a discussion with your significant other. But no, you will not ejaculate. You still make sperm. Your testes are still making sperm. So if you wanted to have children, there are other ways that we can get those sperm. But that still could be done.
Okay.
Brandon, thank you so much for your phone call. I need to take another break. When we come back, Stephanie and Tyrone, we're going to talk to you next. Lines are still open at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We'll be back in just a moment. We continue our conversation on this Medical Monday about No Shave November, getting the word out about men's health, specifically prostate cancer. Let me go back to the phone lines real quick. Tyrone calling from Fort Washington. What's on your mind, Tyrone?
How you doing today?
Just fine.
Good evening, everyone.
Hey.
Roger, how you doing this evening?
Hey, how you doing, Tyrone?
All right. Yeah, I was calling on behalf of, my situation with dealing with the prostate scare. Recently, I've had two biopsies in probably in the last 5 years. And recently, my PSA numbers kind of float borderline to high eights. And I was trying to just get a feel as to what should I be concerned with, and also how often should I continue to get the PSA checked or prostate checked?
Go ahead, doctor.
Yes, Tyrone. So the PSA can fluctuate. The PSA can fluctuate for a number of reasons. Just say in general, it can fluctuate after vigorous rectal examination or a prostate exam. It can fluctuate after having a procedure in the rectum, like a colonoscopy. It can fluctuate with infection. It can fluctuate in the morning after intercourse. If we check a PSA after sexual activity, the PSA may be somewhat elevated. But Jermaine, to your particular condition with your PSA of 8, you do need to be vigilant about getting that checked. I know you mentioned you had two prostate biopsies, but most likely your PSA is elevated because you have an enlarged prostate, and obviously you've had biopsies that did not show cancer. The other thing that you might want to concern, speak with your doctor about, there are other ways looking at the prostate besides just your PSA and your digital rectal examination. Sometimes we like to look at the prostate using particular imaging tests, specifically like a transrectal ultrasound, or maybe even more, an MRI or magnetic resonance testing, looking at your prostate to try to get a better idea of the health of your prostate. But keep doing what you're doing. I would say you probably need to get it checked at least twice a year. And we will look for you, specifically talking, and I'd be happy to see you, but specifically talking, looking at a change in your PSA or doubling of your PSA over time. So if your PSA is remaining stable, 6 to 8, 8 to 6, that's just some variability in your prostate. But if it were to double in a year's time, then that may actually be a red flag to perhaps having some other tests done.
Okay.
Is this Tyrone Tolson from Fort Washington?
Yeah, Ross, what's happening?
And this is Tyrone.
No shade.
Hey, thank you. Tyrone is one of the original supporters when we went out to start recruiting men for No Shave November.
Mm-hmm.
So it was three organizations that chime right in. We have a group called the 84 Boys, and Tyrone is one of the founders, and they chime right in. And we also have Crossland High School Reunion. They chimed in. And C. Pleasant Merlin, like Gil Hawkins and all of them, they chimed in. So it was amazing to see the outpouring response of all the African-American men in these communities that chime right in. Even my son, Roger, my youngest son, Ruben, chimed in. So to me, it was a encouraging moment to see that we can start the conversation and we can make a difference. So I want to thank Tyrone for being one of the initial people to join the No Shave November. Thanks, Todd.
Tyrone, thank you so much for your phone call. Stephanie, real quick, calling from Maryland. What's on your mind?
I'm trying to keep the help the men in my life keep their beards beyond November. So I wanted to get some grooming tips and some recommendations.
Yes. Well, one tip, if you're shaving and you're growing your beard, it's important to add moisture. I say moisture, moisture, moisture. So you have something we created called a hot towel toddy that you use to open the pores up in your beard as well as your skin so product can penetrate further. So the grooming aspect of a beard for African-American is totally different from anybody else. So all African-American men out here understand what I'm talking about. So we always encourage that you open your pores up using a hot towel so the products can penetrate. You don't get the razor bumps. You don't get the skin irritation. And you don't get the, we call it the frantic itch. So if you can remember to tell your friend to use a hot towel, open the pores up, and this way the products that he used, like a moisturizer or a conditioner or a beard oil, will penetrate deeper, and he'll see the results immediately from just one use. And as he continues to do it, he'll see growth, he'll see sheen. And also, I always recommend shampoo your beard once a week. You don't want to block hydration. You don't want to get beard hair loss. You don't want to get issues with product buildup. So make sure you shampoo your beard at least once a week.
Okay. Well, thank you so much for your phone call. In the last few minutes that I have, I want to quickly kind of run down a little bit about those treatments, Dr. Coleman. There's so many things from radiation to prostate, you know, removal, and some of the things. Kind of run down some of the options depending on what a man may be experiencing related to prostate cancer.
Okay. Well, some of the options are based on a couple of parameters. One is what your prostate specific antigen, your PSA blood test is, and when you're diagnosed with prostate cancer, what your cell type is. These are two very important points, because depending upon your cell type, sometimes will put you into a low, medium, or high risk category in terms of prostate cancer returning or causing you much morbidity or mortality. So that's why I'm saying the cell type is different. And so if you have been diagnosed with prostate cancer, there are a number of points or information you want to get from your physician, your cell type, which is called your Gleason score, Gleason grade. Now, be that after that, we look at the prostate cancer in terms of patients that have a low risk and to medium risk grade, and their treatment options. So let's take first treatment versus cure. Okay, so cure meaning that hopefully if we in general, remove the prostate, and we've removed all the cancer cells, or none left behind. How do we tell that? Well, the only organ of the body that makes PSA is the prostate. So if we've removed all the cancer cells and we've removed the prostate, your PSA should be zero, okay? So that would be one thing with cure. Now, with treatment, the prostate is left in the body, and we're treating the cancer in the body, okay? So people have to keep that in mind, because when you elect to have treatment, sometimes if you have a very small amount of cancer, it could be treated and perhaps you could be cured, but your prostate is still there. And if that prostate is still there, cancer can come back. The cancer cells can come back. Okay, so keep that in mind, and then you need further treatment. So if we're doing treatment, we're looking at treating the prostate in the body. We can talk about seed therapy, or brachytherapy, sometimes called interstitial
therapy. Now, what is
that? So what that is putting radioactive seeds, little beads, little pellets, into the prostate, particularly in the area where the cancer cells are. So we can map out where the cancer cells are. Think of the prostate as this big, round gland. It could be big or small, actually, gland. And we can put seed therapy there. So now when we put the seeds where the cancer cells are, they're in the middle of the prostate or on the side, we can avoid the nerves that I mentioned before that run outside the prostate that are involved in sexual function. So treating the prostate this way, we can spare those nerves and the person can still usually be sexually active. Okay? That's putting in radioactive seeds. Now, external beam, think of it like the sun is coming down on the prostate. It's radiation therapy to the entire prostate. Sometimes we can't always spare the the nerves outside the prostate. But again, we use imaging studies to be able to focus that radiation beam on the area of the prostate that we want to treat. If the prostate has moved outside, if the cancer has moved outside the prostate, then we're looking at treatment, what we call systemic therapy. So we still treat the prostate locally, but we have to look at cancer cells that are circulating in the bloodstream. And the next option then is looking at something with hormone therapy. We know that the prostate cancer cells, like your own prostate, kind of feed on your male hormone testosterone. So we give it a therapy to lower that testosterone level. Now, in doing that, that's going to have other side effects which need to be discussed, for example, like your libido, your erectile function, things like that. But now we've got to treat circulating cells in the bloodstream, so we need to do that. Also, there's cryosurgery. So besides using radiation to sort of burn the cancer cells, we can bring those cells down to a very, very low temperature. So cryo freezing those cells and then killing those cells. But keep in mind, these are all treatments. Prostate is left in place. You still need to be followed to see if there's any recurrence.
I'm out of time, but you know, I think that was very illustrative of just the complexities of the disease, but certainly with conversations like this, you know, we continue to help keep people alive. Real quick, I'm really low on time.
Real quick, I want to mention Howard University has the Mentake 10 Center. We have free prostate cancer screenings for men over 40 years of age, the second Wednesday of the month. And I'd like to mention the phone number, 202.
I will put that on the website.
Great. On the website. So that men can come in and get screened. Thank you.
And any information that we have shared this evening, I'll also put that on WHUR.com. Dr. Pamela Coleman and Roger Gore, thank you both so much. I really appreciate you both coming in and sharing this. And good health to all the guys out there. That is the Daily Drum on Sirius XM, Channel 141 for this Monday, November 27th. I'm Harold Fisher. You can certainly tweet us using the hashtag WHURFM. Now, stay tuned for The Connection with Lorna Newton. Good night.
Thank you. Good night.